For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday afternoon, June 22nd, 1981. Family summer camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Frank Mendola is the teacher of the afternoon, and the subject is What is Deliverance? There was a short in the tape recording wire which was beyond our control, for which we are sorry.
Howdy is Italian, and you can tell from my accent I'm not from Mississippi. But regardless where I'm from, I can't believe that I'm here by accident, and I don't believe you're here by accident. That God has made a way for you to be here to receive a teaching that is not taught in the average church. And I would pray especially that you listen. And if you can't get a hold of it, as one pastor used to say, put it on the back burner. Keep it lit. And maybe one day you'll find it digestible and you'll be able to assimilate it and will become bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. Today, I thought it best to begin on a level where all of us can understand. And I'm going to teach on the subject, recognizing the need for deliverance. If you cannot recognize the need for deliverance, you won't know whether to cast out a demon, to pray for the sick, or maintain your confession. Amen? Unless you recognize the areas in your life, or be it the areas in your home or other Christians, you will not be able to be an effective minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. What I said before and alluded to about Christians having a lot of Holy Ghost power, but going in five different directions, I have to say is a sad commentary on just about 90% of all Christendom. But I think Almighty God expects more of that from you and from me. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Okay. With that, let me give you some real basic stuff. And then from there, we're going to go on. And if you have a pen or a pencil and paper, I encourage you to take notes. What is deliverance? Deliverance very easily can be explained as the casting out of a demon or evil spirit out of someone, preferably a Christian. In my ministry, I want everyone to hear this. My wife and I, who are one, by the way, I'm not going my way, and she's not going another. We are one in this thing, because God has ordained it. We have never cast out, hear me, never have cast out a demon out of an unbeliever. So that should tell you that Christians have them. Amen? Don't you go away on me now. I hate to call the ministry exorcism, because of the movie The Exorcist. You know, we all get this gory impression of what deliverance is, of what exorcism is, although the name is applicable. But I remember a time when a fairly young Christian called me up, told me about the symptoms that was happening in his wife. And I said, well, I believe you need to perform some deliverance, you know, exorcism. He said, oh, is that going to be like the movie? Oh, Lord. Heavens, no. And if you got that concept from going to the theater, erase it from your minds right now, because that's not what it's all about. The deliverance ministry is ordained of Jesus Christ. And no motion picture is going to destroy it or delude us into thinking it's something gory and awful. It is not. Jesus, if you read the book of Mark especially, performed just about as much deliverance as he did healing. So who are we to say that it's not ordained of the Lord? In essence, Jesus had a fourfold ministry. And that's what makes it balanced. I want to say this. I am not a deliverance minister. I am a minister who knows about deliverance. Because Jesus was not a deliverance minister. He was a minister who knew about deliverance. And I don't want that slapped on my label, because then I'd be pigeonholed as just that, and I have nothing more. I'll tell you, I do. Because my ministry is not wrapped around one central theme. Neither was the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I see in Jesus' ministry? One, salvation. Two, healing. Three, deliverance. And four, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's what I see. And you know what he has ordained? Ephesians 4:11 says he's ordained apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. So we got four, and then we got five. And you know what the message is? We need fivefold ministers with fourfold ministry. Amen. You know what the problem is? You go to X denomination in church, well, brother, what do you preach? Salvation. That's fine. What else you got? There's nothing else. It's funny, in my Bible, there's plenty of other things. Well, what do you teach? Well, we baptize in the Holy Spirit. Well, that's fine. What else you got? Well, we have a little bit of salvation. Deliverance? Oh, no, deliverance is not for today, you know. Not for today. Today, as far as I'm concerned, I stand here as someone who's been delivered. I know what I'm talking about. And you know something? God has told me never to preach with my own intellect, but to preach from experiences that I've personally walked through. That I'm not just a computer with a bunch of notes spitting out information in hopes the congregation gets it. No, sir. Jesus did, and then he taught. And those disciples had to walk through experiences to know the reality of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, is it any different for us today? No, it's not. So we have to keep balanced. I don't go home and cast out demons 24 hours a day. No, I don't. The ministry is balanced. There's a time for faith and confession. There's a time for healing. There's a time to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But bless God, there's a time for deliverance. Yeah. Let's not kick it out. Now, you know what the problem is? The average church who knows nothing about deliverance looks at us who do. And they see us casting out these demons. And they say, well, I can't be. Well, you know why? There's a twofold reason why. Number one, demons come back, and Christians can't hold them out. And so the next time there are a deliverance meeting, we cast out the same ones. So the people who are skeptical in deliverance, it only adds more fuel to their fire, saying, I don't believe in this ministry. You did the same thing last year. Are you out there, folks? Okay, just checking. Do you see what I'm saying? I find the average Christian wants super minister, you know, the big S tattooed on his chest, to come flying into town, whether it be on the airlines or as Philip travels, you know, and cast out all the demons, and then he goes home to the same mess that's in his house. No. No. There's important prerequisites that have to be founded and laid in order for people to hold their deliverance. And when you come and get delivered, and you stay delivered, then the people who are skeptical about it will see it and say, that's the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What are demon spirits anyway, Brother Frank? Well, they're disembodied evil entities. They're not composed of flesh or matter as you and I understand matter. But they have personality and free will. And that's what makes it dangerous to you. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, think of what you're composed of. You have personality. Some of us have some peculiar personalities. But we have a free will. What is the faculty that makes decisions? Your will. Oh, it searches your mind. And it draws from that storehouse in there. But once that data bank is fed, once it analyzes all that information, it is the will that makes the decision. Right? Now, what happens if you have another entity in you that has a free will also? You see, as long as he's inside, he can exert his will on yours. And that's what makes maintaining deliverance, holding deliverance, and stepping out in faith to receive deliverance difficult. Because he's in there and has to be extricated. So he has a personality and a free will. We know from reading the Bible that he's not choosing whom he inhabits as long as he inhabits someone, something, or even an it, like pigs. Hello? You get the story about the Gadarene demoniac? Now, you know something? The fact that a demon will choose a pig, if he doesn't like me, doesn't do much for my ego. If you know what I'm saying. But the fact that pigs speak to me of filth in the eyes of Almighty God should give you the notion of what God thinks about demons. Hello, wave to me out there. Okay. Where do these things come from, Brother Frank? Well, there's four theories. One, they came from the pre-Adamite world. Two, they come from the spirits of the wicked dead. Three, the fallen angels as a result of Satan's rebellion against God. And four, they're the offspring of women and angels in Genesis 6. Now, which do I believe? None of them. Does anybody remember the scripture that says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, if God's for us, no puny demon is going to make me be afraid of him. I don't see Jesus casting out 2,000 or 6,000 demons, whatever your theology believes, and then running and worrying if they're going to come into him. No. John 14:30 says, the prince of this world cometh, but he has nothing in me. Amen? I wonder how many of us can make the same confession. Hello? Okay. Who needs deliverance? Just about everybody. But you know something? Everybody doesn't qualify to receive it. Do you understand the distinction there? Just about everybody needs it. But because you need it is not the sole prerequisite for you to receive it. Well, why? Why is that a fact? You mean I have to be a special character? Yep, you first have to be a Christian. That's your first. And by Christian, I don't mean someone who tiptoes through the tulips from Monday through Saturday, decides who can stick it out 1 hour on Sunday morning. Well, it's quiet today. I mean someone who's after God's heart. Someone who's going to seek him diligently. Someone who's got their BA degree. Born again? BA degree? Someone who got their, even their MS. More of the Spirit? And finally, he's going around to receive his PhD, his doctorate in practicing holiness. Hallelujah. I see a lot of pens writing that one down. But the point is, it's only for those who qualify as that. You know why it doesn't qualify to someone else? Because they wouldn't have any relationship with the Lord to speak of anything of value to hold that deliverance once that preacher is gone. You see, I'm here, as Irma said, from Florida. That's where I'm returning. I won't be here to hold your hand. Glenn and Irma won't be here to hold your hand. The minister you may be sitting next to will not be here to hold your hand. But we're here to instruct you in the ways of the Lord. We're here to show you what's available and expect you to do your homework right so you can receive the blessings of the Lord and come away from here as a testimony to others who don't believe. Okay. Qualifying deliverance also means in even Christian circles, those who've established their own prerequisites with God as far as order in the home, and other things which are of value and which need to be done before deliverance is performed. You know what we have done here in the United States? And this is true. And I believe it was David Alsobrook who said this. And it's so true. When we're hungry, we don't have time, we run down to McDonald's. Instant burgers. When we don't have time in the morning to make a cup of coffee the way it should be made, it's instant coffee. And now it's instant mashed potatoes. Somebody thought it'd be a practical joke and sent me a little envelope. I opened it up and it was instant grits. But you know, we've instantized everything. And as a Christian who's moved from the world to Christianity, you know we want to instantize deliverance. But there's nothing instant about it. You may have been seated right here, having been delivered once upon a time. And you may sit here today, and this week, being delivered again. But there may come a time when in the future, you also will be delivered. Because deliverance, as is salvation, as is holiness, is a process that has begun when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It doesn't stop, it continues. Right? At least it has for me. I know I haven't arrived yet, but praise God, one day I will if I put these precepts into action. Well, what are other prerequisites for deliverance, Brother Frank? And this is going to seem very elementary. You got to want to be delivered. You have to want to be delivered, and furthermore, you have to want to crucify that area in your life that gave way to that demon in the very first place. Now, I'm exempting curses, heritage, things that people put on you, and I'm talking about what people think of deliverance now. We'll get to curses later this week. But let's take, for example, lust. Lust can be an awful spirit. But you know, when that spirit of lust departs, when it's exercised, if you don't crucify that flesh and close that open door totally, lock it, make sure it doesn't open, guess what's going to come knocking on that door to want to gain entrance again? Don't you blame a deliverance minister if you can't keep it out. In fact, it's very correct to say that it's easy to cast something out, but it's a little more difficult to keep it out. Are you willing to keep it out? Do you know, in effect, you have to hate? Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says there's a time to love. There's a time to hate. You know what you have to hate? That demon spirit that's causing you all these aberrations, whether it be in your mind, in your soul, your emotions, wherever. And you have to hate it enough to come against it, stand against it, and refuse to open its door. Otherwise, you know what will happen. Let me say it this way. In the Bible, we find that God always promises deliverance for your enemies. But we never find a case where the Lord provides deliverance from your friends. Hello? Quiet again. If that demon spirit, that little bit of lust, that little bit of anger, that little bit of impatience, that little bit of burr I could club my husband today, just that little bit, if you refuse to dry it up, well, you're just inviting these things to come right back. Amen. I'm sorry. That's the truth. Truth is painful, but I'd rather tell you the truth than some multi-toast idea of what deliverance is. I'm here for a week. That's all. You're going to live with God and yourself and your family from now till Jesus comes. I'm here sending scriptural fundamental foundations for you to get a hold of. It's up to you what you do with it. Don't you accuse God or any minister that deliverance doesn't work, because it depends on what we're working with. Some cannot hold their deliverance for that very reason. Now, there's other reasons why people can't hold a deliverance. Curses. Manipulation from outside sources. There are things. But usually, and generally speaking, it's a weak-willed Christian. It's a Christian who has no determination and perseverance, and even less, endurance. Oh, you know, we like to rebuke every storm that comes along. Rebuke it, and it goes away. That's what our prosperity teaching is teaching us. Just rebuke it, and rebuke, and rebuke, and everything goes away. That's funny. I don't know about your storms, but I've got to endure a few. I've got to fight them a lot. And then there's ones to rebuke. But don't think you're going to rebuke everything that comes in your life away. And make sure it's a demon before you start rebuking. It may be you. How can you discern whether someone needs deliverance, Brother Frank? What are the factors that you do in weighing in the evidence? Well, here's something we usually find is true. Number one, if that person has been doing his on-the-job training of crucifying, of putting his flesh to death, of trying everything he knows how to get that area under subjection, and it refuses to go, it could be a demon. Because the Bible tells me I can crucify the flesh. It doesn't say it's impossible. It says I can do it. Right? The same thing your Bible says it in mine. I can do it and have victory over it. Just count that old man dead. Now, if it won't die, then that tells me it may be another entity with its own personality and its own free will exerting influence on me. Number two, how can you tell if it's a demon? It will not submit and refuse to submit to one of two things, sometimes both, your will and the will of Almighty God. It will not submit. And you should remember a key word in deliverance is that you will usually cross rebellion. We'll get to that later this week. But if it refuses to submit, demons are rebellious. And they won't submit. Now, let me say this. Every deliverance doesn't have to be someone sitting in a hot seat and 500 different people coming and laying their hands on someone's head until they succeeded shrinking it from 7 1/4 to a size 5. I see from the laughter a few have had that experience. I have successfully got rid of demons just by the fact I recognized them, and I said, I'm going to drive that lifeline up. And you know what I did? I prayed in tongues. I sought the word. I sought God, and before you know it, that demon said, oh man, I can't get to him anymore. And he just left. Now, usually speaking, it doesn't happen that way. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't. Most of the times, it doesn't. Now, why? Because very few people have that acute discernment to recognize what's plaguing them. You see, if you recognize what the problem was, you probably would take remedy to solve it. The problem is it's a blind spot. You know those blind spots? Everybody else can see them. You can't. You know? How come everybody sees my impatience and I can't see it? It's a blind spot, brother. And if you could see it, you'd be blind. Right? That's why you need ministers. That's why you need the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. You see. What is another indication of whether something is a demon? Whether there's a compulsive or uncontrollable desire or appetite. For instance, something that forces you to do something contrary to what you will. It forces you and you can't do anything about it. Then, that could be a demon. An example would be lust, anger, impatience, perfection, just about anything. We had a man come to us. You can hear a lot of examples. Because I believe in using examples so that you can relate to them. This man was married. He was a Christian. He loved Jesus. But he had a problem. The problem was one in the lust area. And every time when he was alone and his wife was not there, he'd have problems. And finally, the Lord convicted him to come to me with great humility. And by the way, there's a scripture that says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. As soon as he humbled himself, I knew victory was ensured. We cast it out. I told him what to watch for. 2 weeks went by, he came back and said, Brother Frank, that you were absolutely right. That thing dried up. I was able to get rid of it. I had temptations. But you know what the difference was, Brother Frank? It was not in here anymore. It was out there. Do you hear me? It was out there. And as long as it was out there, its influence on my will was less. And I had all of my reserves to use to prevent it from coming back. And he has And it's been years since he's ever mentioned a problem to me again. We had a woman come to us who is totally broken, totally distressed because of what her life had become. Now, you know what I find so sad? That people live 40, 50, 60, 70 years, and then they come to the knowledge of deliverance. All those, as the song says, those wasted years, that's not that they're not saved, they are. But think of what a fantastic testimony they could have been if they could have got delivered shortly after they would have been saved. Yeah. Then they would have had salvation, deliverance, the Holy Spirit in their lives. They would have had that anger. Now, what this woman had, and I tell you, I just praise God for how he meets Rosalie and I when we minister. As the woman was talking, I could see that she always wanted the upper hand with men. And I knew right away that that was a spirit of control and manipulation. And do you know what I found from questioning her, counseling her? That was a spirit just passed from her mother to her, because her mother was the same way. So being predispositioned that way from her mother, everything that ever surrounded her life had to be her way. You know, as a famous singer says, I did it my way. It's true. And that's nothing more than those spirits who come in and make you that controlling force, and everyone else has to submit to you. Now, we know submission is godly, but there's a difference between godly submission and demonic subjection. What's another indication of a demon spirit, or things that would ask and question our minds to what to look for? Something that drives you. You don't know how many people we've cast out a spirit of driving, where it's almost like they're hyper, or they're impatient, or they've got to rush here, and watch out if they're going to get behind the wheel of an automobile. Amen. And so a driving thing. Now, how do we know that? Well, look at the scripture. We find that Jesus in Luke 8:4 was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit after his water baptism by John the Baptist, correct? But you know, we read in Luke 8:29 that the Gadarene demoniac was driven into the wilderness by a demonic spirit. Look at that. Both in the wilderness, but one led by the Spirit of God, another driven by the unholy spirit of the devil. And I'll tell you something. You start having wilderness experience, you start going where no people go, and the average church person will say, you're crazy. You know why? Because first they'll look at the Gadarene demoniac. Second, they'll look at Jesus. Jeremy? Supernatural power or strength could be an indication that there's an error in your life that's not natural. Now we know that Samson, the beautiful story of Samson, where the Spirit of God come upon him and he goes to a lion, a young lion, not one who's crippled, who's got arthritis. A young lion. And he tears it apart with his bare hands. What a testimony. But yet we know the Gadarene demoniac, when they tried to chain him and put fetters around him, broke them. You know what I find sad? And I tell you, I thank God that of all the things he's given me a heart that's after his. And when I go into churches, and I see the abuses that they call Christianity, it makes me sick. Hallelujah. Do you love him today? Amen. I'll tell you, Jesus is the most important thing in my life. I want to serve God. And I know that's a hard line. It's a hard line when you have people in the church who come against you. And I could bend your ear with examples of pastors who rather build an edifice instead of maturing their flock. I'll get into some of that this week when we talk about a woman that we had to go in the hospital room. Into a hospital room, could you imagine? And there the demon manifested, and we had no choice but to cast it out. And after that, we were told to hang up the ministry. Praise God. How else can we discern when people are stopped by demon forces and are plagued by demon entities? And it's this, the inability to move on with the things of God. The inability to move on with the things of God. We saw five people come to the last congregation I was submitted to. About five families. Not five people. And they all had this testimony. We can't go on with God. Why not? And as we counseled with them, you know what we found? That the church they came from had put a curse on them. To the point where they couldn't move on with God. Not only do we have abuses of these circus people coming to perform in our church, but the pastors are putting curses on the congregation when they leave the church. I can't believe it myself, people. And your dumbfounded looks was just the looks I had 2 years ago when God gave me that revelation. And I hate to say it, it's true. Well, what form does that take? How can they put a curse? What could they possibly say? I'll give you an example. If you leave this body, you'll never prosper with God. You know something? These five families could not prosper with God. Because their pastor said exactly those words. And we'll get more on that on curses. Is a Christian possessed? If he's got a demon? No. Christian is not possessed. And that is the worst word that the King James translators have put in the Bible. Possessed. There's no such word in the Greek. No such word. The Greek word is daimonid zome. Daimonid zome. And it means, in its most accurate translation, demonized. If I had a radio in front of me, and some of you probably remember this from last time I was here, and you said, Brother Frank, how does that radio work? I say, it's transistorized. Tell me, would you think the radio is possessed by transistors? It's got them, but it's not possessed by them. Right? Actually, the demon who's the one who's possessed, because you got them. No, you're not possessed with demons. Demons possessed by you. That's why you got rid of them. I remember last time I was here, I heard Colonel Speed Wilson, as he made an allusion to talking to one of these faith teachers. He said, Brother, do you believe in deliverance? The faith teacher said, well, the Bible says, ask anything, he'll give it to you, so I guess if you ask for one, you can get one. Bless God, we want to ask for him, we want to get rid of him. Well, what happens to these things when they're cast out? And by the way, there are many ways a demon can afflict you. Possession is not one of them. But there's oppression. There's obsession. There's depression. There's suppression. There's repression. And there's recession. And that doesn't mean the antithesis of inflation. But whether it's re, pre, de, po, ab, or sub, if you got the sex part, you got it. Get rid of it. Well, how do we get these horrible demons? Many ways. Many ways. I'm going to give you personal examples this week of how I had mine, and some I didn't even have to ask for. I inherited them from unbelieving parents who are still not believers. I'm still praying for my family, folks. Of course, not everybody inherits them. Some get involved in sin through disobedience to the Word of God and get their own. I remember reading a book by a teacher a few years back who was very well known in the charismatic area for deliverance. And you know what his open door was? It was at one or two times he had sat in a spiritualistic meeting where demon spirits were being summoned. And even though he doubted it, even though he didn't believe it, even though he was innocent, he was guilty. Because he was present. Well, but I didn't mean to get involved. Well, why were you there? And it was only when the Spirit was choking his life out did he call upon the name of the Lord. And through a miraculous means, he got delivered. We met a woman as she came to the altar and we prayed for her. You listen to this, you Pentecostal people. We prayed for her, and to the casual observer, it appears that she was slain in the Spirit and was put on the floor. And I believe there was times when the Spirit of God moves like that. But I don't think I have to run to the average faith healer so I can find my carcass on the floor. I believe God can do it himself. But you know, there was a discerning elder who was there, who looked at it. And he went over, and he knelt down, and he started praying in tongues. And all of a sudden, she started screaming and writhing from side to side. And I was new at all this. And I'm saying, that's Jesus? It wasn't. But you know how sharp his discernment was? As the pastor went to lay hands on her, he saw her thrown down to the floor, not her falling in the spirit. It was another spirit who did that. You see, Satan can imitate anything. Even being slain in the spirit, folks. And when he started praying in tongues and calling upon the name of the Lord, that spirit in there threw her down. Didn't like that. And then we counseled with her. And you know when we finally got to? When I was young, I attended a seance. When I was young, I played with a Ouija board. But I thought it was just foolishness. That's okay, the devil didn't think it was. And that's what's important. You see, there's a war going on. God and Satan. You know the territory they're after? You and me. And we make the deciding factor which side's going to win. Alcohol, drugs, rock and roll. It's a big open door. Now, what is rock and roll? There's probably teenagers in here who think I'm part of the generation gap. No, I'm not. But I want to tell you something. Witchcraft, drugs, and rock music all go together. It's like love and marriage. They go together. And I can't tell you how many times we have dealt with individuals, teenagers, who've had problems, occult spirits from rock music. I'll give you one example, because I'm not going to give you many examples, but I'll give you one just to get your attention and hope you come back tomorrow afternoon. An 18-year-old boy, handsome individual, loved the Lord, saved, no doubt about it, came to us and was having problems in the sex realm, sexual impurity. But as we, and there were things there, but as we dealt with him, there was other things crowding his personality. And as we tried to pray for him to receive the Holy Spirit, the look of an animal, that's the only way I could describe it, appeared on his face. And we looked at that and said, I don't remember that manifestation for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And one person there looked and said, I know exactly what that is. It's voodoo. Voodoo? Well, let's get it out. We'll find out how it got in there later, but let's get it out. And so we did, and this is the honest truth. As we cast it out, I had my hands on him, and the demon spirit literally threw him to the floor, and then he took me with him because I still had my hands on him. And we said, brother, voodoo? You? Were you ever in drugs? No. You ever need a cult? No. You ever touch a Ouija board? No. Come on. Something's got to be there. He said, wait a minute. I've never done the things you mentioned, but there's one thing that always plagues me. What's that? Well, in my car, I have an 8-track tape recorder player. And I have one tape that when I slip it in, that 8-track, I get, what the kids say today, bad vibes. Well, what is it? It's a tape on KC and the Sunshine Band. Do you know even what the fundamental teachers are teaching? That they have examined the rock music today. And it has the same demonic voodoo rhythm as the incantations that they perform in Haiti and in South America. And buying a tape or an album, well, I'll put it this way. It's like when you buy a box of Cracker Jacks. You get a free surprise. You get a free surprise with your record. You get a demon with every cover. Other ways we can get a demon spirit's part of us. Birth defects. Sins from the ancestry. We'll go much into detail later on. Things that are passed down through generations. Do you know how in Christian circles, let's say a pastor becomes an evangelist. He prays that somehow God raises one of those elders up to take his position. Right? That's scriptural. Moses and Joshua. Right? Sure. Saul, David, although Saul didn't pray for David, he was trying to kill him, but you get the idea. Well, we have found one case just before we came here of a woman who had a phenomenal IQ. Her intelligence quotient was above 170. And she had a propensity for occult manifestations. Now, part of the problem is she went to LSU. To major in parapsychology. Her lab experiments was how far she could roll a ball standing 20 feet away. With her mind? That's not mind power, friends. It's the power of demons. And parapsychology, they should not put in schools if they're against Christian religion. Because parapsychology is the religion of the devil. It's got a nice fancy name. We called it witchcraft in the Old Testament. Now they put a nice fancy name of parapsychology on it. Isn't that lovely? And so she bought a lot of these spirits. But just counseling her recently, we found that everyone used to say to her, "You remind me of great-grandma so-and-so." Well, why do I remind you of great-grandma so-and-so? You've got that high IQ and those things you can do. Those things. Boy, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, "Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I see the problem." Just as in Christian circles, we pray that someone takes the role in our stead when we move on, your great-grandmother put a curse on the family line to raise up you in her stead. Man, I tell you, it gives me chills even when I think about it. And we broke a curse of royal inheritance. And it manifested. And she was set free. Don't lecture me that demons don't exist. Don't come to me and tell me I can't believe it. I can. Because I'm in the midst of people who have them. And then lastly but not least, there's something in your house that you need to get rid of. Well, how do we get these things out? We must be willing, in summary, to crucify our flesh and set our will and house in order to maintain the prerequisites to keep them out. Number two, we must renounce and repent. Repentance is more than a mental state of mind. Judas was awfully sorry for what he did. But in truth, he did not repent. He did not. It reminds me of what Red Butler said to Scarlett O'Hara. "You remind me of the thief, Scarlett, who wasn't sorry he stole, but was very sorry he got caught." Amen. That's not repentance. That's regret. You have to weep, cry over that area in your life. You have to be willing, you know what? To die. God has not caused anyone here to live. He's caused them to die to what we are in the hopes that Jesus can live within us. Calling upon the name of the Lord and casting out upon the name of the Lord. And then when you've done all that and it's successful, then be careful for the demon to return. Because we find a scripture in Matthew 12, 43 to 45, that when a demon goes into waterless and dry places, he will come back to that house and enter in if it's empty. Hello? You got to read, hide, confess, and do God's word. And when you've done all that, live it. You must guard your mind realm, because the battlefield will be your mind. Thoughts will enter into you. You don't know why, but you have to be aware of what thoughts they are and whose. They may not be yours. Lastly, you need to be part of a congregation that fellowships in the Holy Ghost, regardless of the name that's on the door. Whether it be Baptist, Methodist, Assembly of God, if they truly have a hold of God and are teaching the true gospel, I'll tell you something, I don't care about the name that's on the door. I want to be with the people of God. I'm so glad when Glenn said that the teenagers will be in this session with their parents, because that's a confirmation of what I'm about to read to you. I had thought of what would be a good introduction to people who know about who don't know about deliverance, and a good message to those who do. And I'm going to read a letter to you of someone who needs deliverance. As I read it, see how discerning you are to see if they need deliverance. I hate to say this, but the woman who wrote this letter is still not delivered. She never really qualified as those who can maintain it. That's a sad statement, especially of what I'm about to read. Are you ready? As I read this, I dare say there's going to be people who are going to identify with this message. And there is a message even to this letter. I told her, as background for you, sister, when I minister deliverance, I have to counsel with people in order to see the areas that are troubling them, and it usually goes back into childhood. You'll understand that better later this week also. Can you give me your childhood on a piece of paper so I can read it, study it, and pray over it? She said, yes, I can. Now, let's see if you can pick up the things in her life that need deliverance. Background. 3 years old. Father and mother divorced. My Bible says, where there's strife and bitter jealousy, there's confusion and every evil work. I don't have to read any further. And I can tell you, she's a candidate for deliverance. And so is every child whose parents are divorced. I am not being dramatic. I'm being truthful. You see how easy some of us qualify? Brother lived with father. Sister and I went with mother. From approximately 3 years old to 7 years old, I lived with my grandmother. Grandmother, very critical, full of fears. Isn't that wonderful? Stop letting your child to live with someone who doesn't have their own act together. How can the child have their act together? I had two nightmares and thought I was awake and hearing the big, bad wolf. Now, to most of you, that won't mean anything until I counsel with a woman who was delivered from a spirit of madness. And when she received the Holy Spirit, all she could remember is if that she didn't read those words that were on the wall, there was a wolf outside making a growling noise that would enter into her. Hello? 7 to 10 years old. Mom married to get away from her mother. Wonderful. Husband had a disease. He drank a lot. Healthy atmosphere for a child. We lived in a shack. We had no bathroom. They fought a lot. He pushed my mother in the fire once. I tell you, my heart breaks when I read this. Do you know that there are some people who believe that the motion picture, The Exorcist, was patterned after the life of Carol Kingston, who was nothing but a vegetable when God moved on a minister to go into a mental institution to deliver her from her demon spirits? You know what the cause of her demons was? She saw her daddy murder her mother. And that trauma and that shock caused an open door for all her spirits. And this poor lady, now as old as I, is still plagued by the thought that she saw daddy push her mother into the fire. After that, my mother left him. We moved around quite a bit. Finally, stepdad started having hallucinations. 10 years old, we lived with a divorced woman and her two kids. Mom dated a lot of Air Force men. I had gotten a fear of going to school before my mom left my stepdad. It carried on over to now. I was afraid mom just would be home when I got home from school. We moved out of our own place. Mom started staying out late at night. I was always trying to find her. Where is she? By foot, by phone. Where is Mama? Then Mama got so concerned about her daughter's concerns, she had no choice but to take her to the bars she was going to. Do you see the need for deliverance? Mom married an Air Force man. He happened to be a sergeant, very stern. I never got close to him. He was never really proud of me for anything. He called me a hypocrite. He said, I got my good marks by brown-nosing teachers. It's sad. Mom beginning drinking a lot. At 19, I went to college and got married. Need I say what her marriage is like? Need I say what her daughter is like? Friends, I could go on and on and on. And this letter is just full of years of waste, years of misuse, years of rejection. And that is the basic cause for all of her problems. How about you today? Have you got something similar to this? Have you got a marriage that maybe is on the rocks? Don't know why. Have you got a mommy and daddy who never loved you? And this is not child psychology. It's the Word of God. You see, even Jesus suffered rejection that we could be accepted. And if we can't find acceptance for one another, or even by parents or loved ones, our fallback position is, I'm accepted by Almighty God. Would you bow your heads? Lord, I just ask you now in the name of Jesus to convict these people of what area of deliverance they need. Has some of the things in the letter ministered to them? Has some of those things have pricked their hearts? And they know there's things that are demon entities that must come out. If so, Lord, move upon this congregation by your Spirit, O God. Show them that broken home, those bad childhood experiences, Mama and Daddy who could never really love, a sister who was jealous, a brother who was vindictive. Things they can't forget. But now as they're sitting here, the deliverance is about to take place. I'm going to lead you in a very fundamental renunciation prayer. Keep your eyes closed and your head bowed. I want no looking around. Others who may be a little more subconscious than you maybe find it hard to do this. I'm going to start with a renunciation prayer. And I want you to confess what you think you have. Whether it be rejection, rebellion, superiority, conceit, lust, adultery, hate, bitterness, whatever. Confess it. God will hear it. And your deliverance will come forth when I name it and cast it out in the name of Jesus. Would you be honest before the brethren and before Almighty God? Follow me now as we say this prayer. Dear Lord, I have a confession to make. There are things in my life that just don't belong there. I now renounce all of these spirits and command them to leave me in the name of Jesus. I don't want them. I hate them. But I love you. I promise to do whatever is necessary to keep them out. Whether it be crucifying my flesh, getting my home in order, being submissive to the one who's in authority, or anything else. I now renounce. Okay, folks, just name them. And say it as unto the Lord. As you're rejecting. I'm sorry. As you're renouncing rejection and other things. Remember to forgive those who rejected you. Remember those who've done things that were terrible to you. But God requires you to forgive. Would you forgive them? Even if they're deceased? Even if it's mommy and daddy, sister or brother, and they're not alive anymore? Would you say, I forgive them? In Jesus' name. I come against the spirits of rejection. In Jesus' name. Rejection. In the name of Jesus, you're bound. Turn God's people loose in Jesus' name. Rejection. Come out of that woman in Jesus' name. Come out of that woman in Jesus' name. Rejection. Loose her and let her go. Rejection. Loose her and let her go in Jesus' name. Loose her and let her go in Jesus' name. Spirits of rejection, come out in Jesus' name. Come out of this young man in Jesus' name. Rejection, come out of this woman in Jesus' name. Come out of God's people in Jesus' name. Rejection, rejection, come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Rejection, you're bound in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Come out of God's people. We cast you out. Get out of Jesus' name, rejection. Get out in the name of Jesus. Spirits of rejection. Loose God's people and let them go.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.